Hey, everybody. This month's episode of Why We Run, we talked to the Late Bloomers Running Club. Basically, it's people who didn't start running until halfway through life, and they're kind of killing it. So we have three different runners, and they have amazing stories, and it's super inspirational. And if you've ever said to yourself, I'm too old to do that, just hang on to your earphones and ride along. Here we go. This is Why We Run. My name is Beth Baker, and I interview runners while we're actually running about life, struggles, and, well, why we run. We chat and share to the tune of our footsteps, heavy breathing, and our laughter. Lots and lots of laughter. Are you ready? Let's go.
Oh, God dang it.
Louise, you're not doing this, right? Can I help you?
Yes.
As a mom.
Can I help you?
There we go.
Awesome.
And then it's twisted, of course.
Okay. That's okay.
More than six times.
Okay.
All right. Now we're good.
Okay.
All right. And away we go. And we're off.
And now we're done.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Yeah.
Getting out there.
Are you you're injured or anything like that right now?
Am I what?
You're not injured or anything
no,
like that.
No. Okay. I'm, you know, just taking it a step at a time.
Okay.
That's all you can do.
What's your next race?
My next light race is the Blurge. It's a half.
Okay.
And I did a... I did the Seattle Rock and Roll.
Okay.
Wasn't that a challenge and a half?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Which way? Okay. Our first runner is Deb. So Deb didn't start running until she was 59 years old, and now she's 70. And she has literally, people, run hundreds of races. Hundreds. She came actually to my Couch to 5K class about 10 years ago and was an avid walker after losing 90 pounds. And just started running half marathons, marathons across the country. She's got a great story, and I'm so excited to share this with you. Here is Deb. Oh, also, she had flip flops on, so we had to walk.
You told me to go there. Come
slowly,
on.
Slowly.
Come on.
So how many races have you done?
Well, as a matter of fact, I put my last one in, so 205.
205, and since when?
Actually, it started with the 08 race.
Okay.
And then I went and kind of didn't know what I was doing, just said, well, that was fun. I'll do it. And then started up in real earnest in 2010.
Okay, okay.
So that's kind of really...
Okay. And is it just 5Ks to half marathons?
Oh, or? No. Well, no. Okay. I've run the spectrum. I actually have a thing on the back of my little smart car. That are these boxes for 5K, 10K,
yeah.
15K, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So in addition to checking off all those boxes, they don't have 100.
Yeah.
I also have done the 1K, the large bike, my favorite, totally fun, goofy thing. What's the other one I've done? Pretty much all of them that are numbered, like.
Okay, okay. And what made you, like, what was your first race?
My first race was to do the Seattle Marathon with a friend.
Uh-huh.
And I said, well, first of all, I was very heavy back then.
Yeah.
And I said, well, I've never run a race. How far is a half marathon? And she says 13 miles. And so when she picked me up off the ground, she said, but we can train for it. And I said, okay. So I signed up for Seattle Marathon training.
Yes.
It was run by Paul.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And when we finished the training, I said to her, well, now that I've run 13 miles, why do I have to do a race? I know I can do 13
miles. Right.
She says, just wait.
Oh, I love that.
Wait till you get there. And she was so right. I mean, I obviously wasn't taken with it that I signed up for my very next race,
okay,
obviously.
Right.
And then I ran it. And I don't even remember what my time was, to be honest. Under 4 hours, though.
Oh,
for
okay.
A heavy set, never run before person in her whole life.
And so
life.
That was before you lost the weight?
Yes.
Yeah. And then, how much did you lose again?
I lost 95.
Okay.
And after I broke my leg, I kind of have gained about between 15 and 20 of it back.
Okay, okay.
But I'm back out, so, you know, it's all about balance.
Yeah, right.
Eating and exercise.
And so what made you kind of just like put down all your cards to do all the races?
Well, when I started running, a friend was coming up from California, and she and a bunch of her friends were going to run the Seattle Rock and Roll. And the same friend who had talked me into running previously was doing it as well.
Is that friend a lawyer?
No, it isn't.
I just sound very persuasive.
Yeah, no. And in the end, yeah, you just have your loonies.
Right.
And so by the time she got here, and I'd signed up for it to do it with her, all of her friends backed out.
Okay. Oh, wow. Okay.
So I went with her, and that was shortly after I'd lost, or certainly after the surgery.
Yeah.
And so I knew I needed to keep up with a real physical activity.
Okay.
And I knew I liked to run.
Yeah.
Or walk, sorry.
Right.
Not run. And that's what kind of put me out there. And I can remember being amazingly proud that I had accomplished 6 half marathons that year.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean.
And how old were you at the time? You were.
By that time, I'm now at 60.
Okay, at 60, okay.
Because, things happened before your birthday, so.
Yeah, yeah.
To be honest, I wasn't quite there at the
right.
first one, but yeah. And so, and then along came this thing called Mainly Marathons that do multiple races in multiple states. Now multiple distances as well, but they had no time limit.
Oh, okay.
So it was
kind of like the ultras they have now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And so I trained for that kind of with the Quadzuki.
Uh huh.
Here.
Yep.
Boy, that about killed me.
Yeah, and that's three. That's four.
That was four
half marathons in 4 days.
Which, by the way, I didn't even know what a 5K and a 10K was. Oh, I want to know why somebody didn't tell me about those first.
Well, you know, ignorance is bliss sometimes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you knew what you're getting into,
right?
You probably wouldn't do it, right?
Yeah. Or hey, how come we aren't doing that smaller distance? Right.
Right?
So, from that point on, then the next year, I said to myself, okay, you're out of control. You need to do one a month.
Okay.
So we get to June and I'm on 18.
Uh-huh.
And I went, well, that didn't work.
Bad.
And, you know, then it just got crazier and crazier. And I loved it. The camaraderie is incredible.
I was going to ask why you're sticking in it.
Yeah, and it is that.
Is it something you've always, searched for?
Nope.
Okay.
You mean I didn't know what I was looking for.
Okay, because I mean, everyone's looking for something, you know?
You know what it was for me at the start was a sense of accomplishment.
Okay. Had you had that before in your life?
Not athletically. I was never an athlete, ever,
right. Yeah.
For any aspect.
Yeah.
And so it was so odd to me that I was out there doing things, and I made sure that I wasn't doing it for time.
Right.
If it was for time, it was because in my head I wanted to improve my time.
Yeah, right.
Not in competition with anyone ever.
Well, that's something that kind of age shows you, too, so it's probably good that you didn't start till later.
Probably.
On, you know?
Yeah, because, now, though, I will tell you, and I'm sure you know this, it is incredibly addictive.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a good feeling. It's
I was going to say, the only thing that's holding me back now, quite frankly, is money.
Yeah.
You know, it costs for me to fly around the country.
Right.
But then there was that insanity back in 2015 when I did 30 fulls in 30 states,
right?
30 halves in 30 states in 365 days,
right?
So, you know, like
different
I said,
years, right?
Nope.
Okay.
Yeah. When you say different years, it is a 365, so it did kind of span, and you can't. To begin with, you can't really plan when you're going to start it if you're a part of Maniac or Half Fanatics, because you have a calendar that
just does it for you.
Yeah. So by the time I thought, I'll start this in January and finish by January, well, I didn't realize that I'd actually had 4 races previous to January that counted.
Oh, okay.
So then you put up a spreadsheet.
Right.
And you start putting them in because, you know, transportation changes, health.
Yeah.
Anything or just a cancellation of a race.
Right.
Then you have to kind of scramble.
Right.
You can't repeat the state unless it's for a different race, number.
Okay.
Distance. So it becomes a challenge. It was a lot of fun. It was very grueling.
Uh-huh.
I will say, anybody ever attempts it, they need to really kind of put another challenge out there in front of you after it's over.
Oh, right. Just like most people do the first marathon, I always tell them to kind of as soon as you're done with that marathon, is sign up for another race.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a downer.
Well, it is. And yeah. I was in a funk for a year.
Okay.
Then I chose to have some surgery that I had kind of put off.
Uh-huh.
And then when I got off the surgery, I didn't really train for the half marathon that I was going to be doing in Lincoln, Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
But I did.
Yeah.
A little bit. You know, and so lo and behold, while I was running the half, I didn't know this, but I'd broken my leg.
Oh my God.
In the middle of it, and I just thought I'd hurt, you know, something.
Your femur or your
tibia?
Tibia.
So I dragged that leg along,
oh,
and we finished the race. And we finished in under 4 hours. So,
yeah, wow.
You know, I was moving.
Back to the 365 to 3. What did you learn about yourself?
Lots of things. Certainly, hydrate.
Yeah.
There were a couple of times that I was actually circling the drain, and the friend that I was doing
circling
it with.
Circling the drain. I've never heard that before.
Oh.
I love that term.
You don't want to be in it, okay?
So she
was threatening me, and we finally got some insure in me, and I took the day off from the race. So see there, again, there goes the numbers.
Yeah.
But so hydration, I really can't speak for it enough. I'm not a fan of cold ice baths, but I am a fan of extremely hot baths and Epsom salts.
Yeah.
So that became my recovery mode after each day. I think the most I ever did was 5 marathons in 5 days in 5 states.
Wow.
And essentially, you get up at the crack of dawn, you run your race, get in the car, drive to the next place, clean up, go to bed, get up the next day.
Wow.
So, yeah. And sometimes you have time to enjoy the scenery.
What's that?
Sometimes you have an opportunity to enjoy the scenery.
Yeah, yeah.
But not very often.
What did you learn about yourself mentally?
Well, it did tell me that I am tenacious.
Yes.
You know, we were going to get this done. I never whined about it.
Yeah.
I think mainly it was just being focused.
Okay.
You know, you really do have to focus.
Yeah.
You have to focus to finish. And I mean, weather was always a feature. Certainly the courses were a feature.
Yeah.
And traveling, you know, you were constantly turning around for the next flights out.
Or, yeah.
And the thing about doing it, at least with the company I was doing most of my races, not all of them, they are low-key and flat, basically. Not always, but pretty flat, and it afforded me a cheaper option to reach all 50 states.
Right.
Which people that do that, and they do, you know, they always go, well, how do you get all those states?
And
well, you sign up with this company.
Yeah,
an app for that.
Yeah,
for sure. It's amazing. I can't tell you the number of women that I've managed to convince that you don't have to be fast.
Oh, yeah.
You just have to be determined.
But it's that idea, I'm sure you had that in your head for, I don't know, number of decades.
Well, no, because I didn't start. I didn't do anything.
But why didn't you do anything?
Because I didn't care.
Oh, you didn't care at all?
I wasn't. You know, I got married at a very young age.
Uh-huh.
Started a family about 4 years later.
And yeah.
It just wasn't.
How many kids did you have?
Two.
Okay.
Yeah. And they're 6 years apart.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you don't.
You just kind of like,
I am the family.
Focused and on, that,
Let's not go there. So, one of the things you asked, what did I learn? You also have to learn to balance your relationships with those around you.
Yeah.
My daughter kind of felt like I had abandoned her.
With this running thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
Serious.
Huh, interesting.
Well, especially when I told her in advance that I was going to be doing this, I called it the quest.
Yeah.
And I gave her a heads up, and I said, you know, because they have their life and they're very structured, so I don't get to see them very often.
Yeah.
So I had to do something with my time.
Right, yeah.
So that was my choice, right? But I wanted her to know, well, You know, and then I get the, well, you're never home comment. Good. So you feel bad.
Well,
but you also know you gave a heads
that's
up.
That's kind of a manipulative.
Well, it certainly is, but it didn't stop me from staying with it. And the boyfriend was really very supportive.
Okay, that's good.
And that was probably more important to me than anything.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Balancing.
Boundaries.
And boundaries.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I learned that from running a lot.
No doubt. Yeah.
So what would you tell your younger self about all the stuff you're doing now?
Start sooner.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I would have loved to have seen some really good numbers. Now, as I get older, they're starting to slip.
Uh-huh.
But that's an age thing. It's not a...
Yeah.
It's more, what can I afford? How do I feel?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm already booking into next year's races.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't stop. And like you said, you have this... I have this posse that's wonderful that, hey, can you do this race?
Yeah.
See, that's the other thing. I've got a ton of medals. And I, of course, since then I have picked up 5Ks and 10Ks
and
15Ks. And now I've got all these medals. And I'm kind of disappointed that medal for medals isn't in our area because I can't ship them.
Oh.
It would be prohibitively expensive to ship them.
Yeah.
So I'm like, oh man.
Where are you going to ship them to?
Well, you'd have, there are several other chapters out there, but they're like California.
Yeah.
You know, or.
What is Medals for Medals? So sorry.
Medals, the program is they take your medals, especially they love the Disney ones, but I'm not a Disney runner, and they take the lanyards off and put their lanyards on them, and they clean them, of course, antiseptically.
Yeah.
And then they give them to children
that
are in the hospitals.
Oh my gosh, really?
You know, especially like, you know, battling cancer or whatever.
That's beautiful.
I think it's a wonderful idea, but I wish I could participate. I just don't have the ability to get them there. And of course, like I said, it's an expensive venture for shipping. I mean,
but I was
think
saying,
of it more than 200, 300 medals.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I can handle that.
All right, that's it.
Well, thank you.
Thank
you.
God,
it was
so
great
much
to spend time with you.
Oh my gosh.
We kind of wave and hug and.
You are so consistent about it. And, I mean, you are, and dedicated. Just, I'm sure you are as a person in general. How fast you are.
Oh!
You have no idea how crazy that is. Okay. Our next runner is Tanya. Tanya just started running in January. She's just turned 54, and she is so friggin' fast. I'm not very fast, but I can barely keep up with her. And it's a little annoying, but I'm just so proud and so thrilled for her too. She also is a great storyteller, and she has a little story at the end about a certain rock star. So hope you enjoy.
Okay, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm fine. So I'm gonna ask what made you start? What made you like? Because you have never run before, right?
That's right.
Okay. And can I ask how old you are?
I am 54.
Okay. And what made you start? Or what made you like want to start doing this?
Well, actually, a New Year's resolution to begin saying yes to things that might reduce my stress.
Okay.
I think a lot of people in this culture immediately head to the pharmacological solution, you know, anxiety medication or blah, blah, blah. And, or they go the mindfulness route, take a workshop, and I knew that neither one of those options was very attractive for me.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine who had taken your Couch to 5K class, Catherine Keller, had said, hey, I'm taking this class. You should totally do it. And another one of my resolutions was to begin to say yes to stuff that I typically would not do.
Okay.
So I was like, my immediate reaction was, no, I don't want to do it. And then I thought, wait.
Right.
You already...
Sometimes that knee-jerk reaction is like...
Exactly. It's the end of January, and you already begin to flake on this. So, I said, okay, I'm going to sign up. It's 4 weeks. We'll see how it goes.
Yeah.
And I'm still running.
I love it. And what has it found, like, how has it affected your life?
How has it positively affected me?
Yes.
So, it's been great to have this physical aspect of my week.
Okay.
Because I not only did not run, I did nothing physical.
Okay.
I mean, really. I have a job that I sit down on a chair all day, pretty much.
Yeah.
And, you know, I walk my dog, but that's about it.
Yeah.
I've physically always been in really good shape, regardless.
Yeah. And where does that come from?
That's just a matter of good luck and genes, I think.
Because, really?
Yeah. I've just never had weight issues or health issues of any kind. And I realize how extraordinarily lucky
good.
I am. But I'm also 54.
Yeah.
And that's not the last.
Yeah.
I will begin facing issues.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, having this physical part of my week where I'm actually extending myself and working my muscles has made me feel like I'm doing something really positive for myself.
It's taking control, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. You see?
Yeah, I actually did. What I found was that it was more than anything else an ego boost. Because
great.
I have always, because I never got out and did it, anything, I would be very self-deprecating about how...
You're hard on yourself, huh?
Physically.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't do anything. Yeah. I have zero strength. I don't exercise, blah, blah. And my first 5K, I did okay.
What was your time again?
I don't remember, but I was doing like an 8-minute mile.
Okay.
And
you had been running for 5 weeks?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And I was like, what? Wait a minute. That was faster than I usually do, and I'm sure that the fact that I was in a quote-unquote race,
yeah,
or more competitive environment,
yeah,
I pushed myself almost unconsciously. To me, I was just like, oh, just finish.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I found myself when I was running like, wait, I can totally get ahead of these people.
You guys are dead.
I know, exactly. And just kind of pushing myself.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it was good. It felt great.
So what did you do as a kid? Did you do any exercise as a kid?
Well, I mean, I grew up... I'm 54 again. So I grew up at a time when kids were not sitting inside playing video games.
Yeah, yeah.
Our physical activity was loose.
Yeah.
Totally unstructured.
Play. Actual play.
And actual play.
Yeah.
And I was out a lot. I had a bike. I had a 3-speed bike from Sears. All through...
What color was it?
It was dark green. And I rode that thing constantly. I'd get bored and get on the bike.
Yeah.
Right around the neighborhood. Did a lot of walking. Walked to and from school.
Right, right.
When I look back, I was like, wow, that was quite a distance.
Yeah, I know.
And to me, it was just like, well, the bus doesn't go here,
yeah.
So here I go.
That's awesome. So do you have any big goals for running?
Well, I have just signed up for this half class to work myself up to a half marathon. Right now, to me, I'll admit it seems inconceivable. Because I have speed, but it's short distance speed.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure I'm a long distance girl. But it's worth testing myself.
Yeah. I think with long distance too, you'll start to appreciate the mindfulness process.
Right.
Because you have to...
You have to slow down.
You have to slow down.
And pace yourself, right.
And you're just out there a long time.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of time to think and...
Right.
Or not think. So, it's pretty cool.
That was the thing that I found most interesting running on my own. I will say, your class has been a boon for me in that I get to run with other very cool women.
Yeah.
You included. And have great conversations.
Yeah.
And I forget I'm running. I'm just like, oh, we're done.
Yeah.
But the few times that I've gone on my own, I brought a soundtrack every time. And ended up turning it off.
Oh, interesting.
And just running without.
This is too much noise.
Letting my mind wander in a way that I don't.
Oh, interesting.
Typically.
Oh, I like that. Huh.
And found myself much more relaxed when I got done.
Okay. You're not there to please anybody. You're not on...
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of a... Just all you.
Exactly. I mean, when I begin to do that, I'm fairly disciplined. And when I begin to do that at home when I'm sitting at my desk, which is totally natural, I stop myself. Wait, I still have this entire proposal to get together. You know, and I shut myself off.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't do anything but run.
Exactly.
But running is one of those things for people who, in that first 10 minutes, they just hate it. And they're like, I'm never doing this again.
Right, exactly.
I'm sure that part of it's shame. Shame for not being active. You know, all that stuff.
And it just takes a little bit. I mean, I did.
It does.
I did try a couple of times. Vic, when he was still running, was like, you should totally do this.
Yeah.
Come with me. And I'd go a block or two with him and go, well, okay, no. I'm hating it. And this is not for me.
Yeah.
And the big thing about your class, that is really great and is completely logical as a built-in, is accountability.
Yeah.
That you sign up for even the Catch to 5K, and you got to be there every week.
Yeah.
You don't have to. People drop out.
Yeah.
But for me, it was just like, okay, I've got a friend in the class.
Right.
Beth is expecting me.
Yeah.
I'd be lame not to show.
There's nothing wrong with me.
There's nothing wrong with me. And other people are making it. I have no excuse.
Right.
So.
Did you ever think in your head, too, I'm faster than the coach?
No.
Okay. Yeah.
I didn't. For me, it was just a matter of, oh my God, I can actually do this.
Yeah. Without, you're good at it.
Without walking.
Yeah. Or,
you know, freaking out. So.
Well, I love it. I hope you do it forever.
But it's been good for me.
Good. Yeah, because you are, it seems like you are hard on yourself.
And yeah.
And this is just, I'm hard on myself too, so that's why I see it.
Yeah.
But.
I think it's very female.
Yeah.
I mean, men are hard on themselves too, but.
No. But when you run by yourself, what motivates you to do that?
Well, actually the class too, and that.
Okay.
If I feel like, you know, this summer has had a lot of challenges.
Uh-huh.
And I've not been able to run on a regular basis with the class.
Right.
And then I began to worry that when I did show up, I'd have fallen way behind.
Uh-huh.
And that didn't comport with my own goals.
Okay.
And so I just made myself go.
Okay. Good. So before we're done, can you tell me, would it be okay?
Yeah.
If you told me the story about when Prince picked up on you.
Okay, so let's see. In the early 80s, I lived in Minneapolis. At the time, Prince, who was based in Minneapolis, of course, owned Paisley Park, also owned First Ave, which is a huge nightclub in downtown Minneapolis. It was a place where people would gather and dance, and Prince would occasionally show up with his entourage.
Uh-huh.
And there was a large kind of glassed-in area where people could separate themselves off and look over the dance floor. And one night I was there.
And how old were you?
I was maybe 21.
Okay. Of course you were, because you were at a nightclub.
Right. But I was young. I was dancing with a group of friends. And I knew Prince was there. So, of course, he showed up and through a back door, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, oh my God! And a very bulky bodyguard type came up to me on the dance floor and said, Prince would like to have a dance. And I was like, what? At first I was like, I'm not getting it.
Yeah.
And my friends were like, oh my God! And in my arrogance and youth, I said, if he wants to dance with me, he can ask me himself.
Which is so badass.
And stupid, according to my friends. Because, of course, the bodyguard gave me a look, returned to Prince's little special room, and I did not hear more about it.
Oh my gosh.
I'm sure when other very lucky woman was selected.
Oh, that just delights me the whole.
He can ask me himself.
Get your little butt down
exactly.
here.
Exactly.
In your high heel shoes.
Exactly. I'm like a head taller than you. Whatever, you can come up. And
you probably were, huh?
And I loved Prince. It's not like I was, you know, dismissive of him. I don't know what. So my husband now says, you could have had two stories in that scenario.
Yeah.
The one you've got.
Right.
And the one where you go up and dance with, or potentially more, Prince.
Right.
What do you think would have been more entertaining to bring through the rest of your, you know, decades?
Like, yeah.
Whatever, you know?
But then you married a rock star, too.
Exactly.
So.
Or as he calls himself, a rock asteroid.
A rock asteroid.
But, yeah. That's my Prince story.
I love it. How you feel?
I'm feeling good.
Good. Thank you for doing this. It's a weird setup, but I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just, I'm probably 5,000 ways to skin a cat.
Are we going?
Yep.
Are we recording now?
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
I know, I sneak that in when I do. I just start it.
Yeah, that's always kind of fun to get
So
people.
I'm going to have to go slow in order to talk. So.
No problem. Is it going to be weird for me to interview you?
I don't know. We'll see.
We'll find out. It's not windy at all, which is nice.
Oh, that is good.
I had the honor and pleasure of interviewing Beth Whitman. Okay, so Beth Whitman, she is a podcaster. She has a podcast called She's Bold, where she interviews women from doing amazing things. She also has a company and a book called Wonderlust and Lipstick. And she just started running not too long ago, and now she's doing ultra marathons in Hawaii. And then next year, she's doing this run where she does all of the deserts of the world, including Antarctica. You guys, it's awesome. And she's going to tell you all about it. Here we go. Are you ready? Let's go. So Beth.
Yeah.
How are you?
I'm going to be winded.
Okay.
I am winded.
So what's your normal pace? I should forget to ask you that.
What is my normal pace? You know, I'm actually doing a lot of zone 2 training right now.
Uh-huh.
So my pace is, it's probably closer to 10 minutes,
okay,
maybe.
Okay, perfect, okay.
With zone 2.
Okay.
But even then, I'm not used to
talking.
Talking.
Oh, right, because you run by yourself normally,
I
don't
do.
You?
Yeah.
And do you listen to anything?
Yeah, I listen to podcasts usually.
What do you like to listen to?
Let's see. It's kind of switching. I was getting really into, well, I've been listening to Rich Roll.
Yes.
For a long time.
I have never listened to him.
Oh.
I heard he's great.
Yeah. But let's see, Rich Roll and Ben Greenfield, who does a fitness podcast, and he's crazy because
He kind of experiments on himself. Oh. And does all sorts of like biohacking.
Uh-huh.
And talks about those.
Yeah.
And then I've gotten a little bit tired of what I call like heavy information.
Yeah.
Podcasts. And
your brain can't solve it.
Well, yeah, true. And the thing is that I'm running such long distances now.
Yeah.
That like I'll go out 4 days a week doing maybe 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, shut up! Like, get out of my ears. So
it's like fluff.
I just found Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Yes.
Have you listened to
it? No, is it good?
Oh my god. I was laughing. I was listening one morning at the house as I was getting ready to run. I was laughing so hard. I thought John was gonna wake up and think that I was crying about something. I was crying. I had tears rolling down my face. It is the funniest.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, start with Dana Carvey.
Okay.
But that's like the peak one.
Yeah.
But it'll get you hooked. So.
So you started running minutes ago, right?
Yeah. Relatively recently. So I'm 53. And
were you active before?
You know, some people might say I was, but I don't really, like, now I look back and I go, no way. I was not really an active person. I did gymnastics.
Oh, wow.
When I was a kid.
Oh, how funny.
And I think that muscle tone held over.
Yeah.
It's like if you looked at my calves 10 years ago, people would say, look at the rabbits.
Oh, funny.
Yeah. People would look at me and say, oh, like you work out.
Yeah.
And I didn't. John and I walked a lot.
Yeah.
And I've always been a walker. Yeah. I've always just loved to.
It's a good segue for running.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, but I always told myself that I couldn't run because I would start out running and like just, you know, happened to me in the first 2 minutes.
Yes.
My body's getting used to, you know, my heart and my lungs are kind of trying to figure out how to work together.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, I can't run because these first couple of minutes are like,
right.
Gosh, there are rabbits everywhere. Look at all the bunnies. I can't believe it. And the crows.
And crows are looking at the baby bunnies.
So I held to that story.
Yeah.
And then I did this trek in Bhutan.
It's a real quick for people to know who you are.
Yeah.
What do you do for a living, by the way?
What do I do?
Just drop the word Bhutan.
Yeah. You know what? So I've been traveling for over 30 years.
Okay.
And about 11 years ago, I started running tours just to get, like, I had this terrible job that I hated. And it was so, oh gosh. Okay, here's the backstory. I'll give you a little segue. The backstory. I've been a traveler for a long time, like 30 years now. And I had this job that I hated. It's just a bad, misogynistic environment, but I was making a ton of money. My heart was in travel. And I'd always told myself, you can't make money in travel.
Uh-huh.
Because I saw a lot of people try to do it, and they failed.
Yeah.
So I held on to that story that you couldn't make money in travel. And it just got to a point at this job that I couldn't work there anymore. And I thought, you know, what if I changed my story and said...
What made you, like... Because you just don't do that by yourself. You know, like...
Well, you know what?
Because everyone's got the story.
There's a couple things.
I mean, somebody needs to, like, shake the cage a little bit,
you know? Yeah. It's coming home every night complaining about the work environment.
Uh-huh.
It's finding Playboy magazines in the new desk drawer that you got moved to.
Oh my God.
It's being made to do push-ups in the, you know, in front of the company owner and these other people.
Wow.
Because they don't think you can do it. And I just said, screw you. I'm going to show you the 50 push-ups that I can do. So it's being in that kind of environment.
Yeah, that takes it. Yeah, rattles the cage a little bit.
Yeah.
I had a life coach when I had my shitty corporate job.
Yeah.
He was like, why are you putting up with that? I'm like, I don't
know. Yeah. Because I'm making a lot of money.
Yeah, right.
And I thought, okay, no amount of money is worth this.
Yeah.
So I quit.
Good.
One day, and I said, I got to change my story. How can I make money in travel? So then I started looking at ways. I wrote a book.
Oh.
And that was like the entree into this new world for me, this new travel business. So
you wrote a travel book?
Right. Wanderlust and Lipstick, The Essential Guide for Women Traveling Solo. And I wanted to encourage other women to travel independently because I had done so much of it myself. And what happened was they started to come to me and say, would you lead tours?
Yeah.
Like, I want to travel with you. I don't want to travel on my own. I want to travel.
Right, yeah.
And I thought, okay, well, wasn't my intention, but let me see if I can make this work. So then I started leading tours. I had an opportunity to lead a trip for a friend to Bhutan.
Okay.
I had no idea where Bhutan was, but I said, sure. So did this trip, and I thought, okay, I think I can make this a business.
Wow.
So it kind of grew out
of
that.
That's great.
Yeah. So that's the backstory. Years of travel to Bhutan, I'd heard about this trek, the snowman trek, which is 25 days up to 18,000 feet, 220 miles, you know, in the foothills of the Himalayas, just below Tibet. And I said, I could never do that. And then I realized that was just another story I was telling myself.
I love that you figured that out, because people will go their whole lives and just accept that narrative.
And you know what? I challenge myself every day about the things I can't do.
Yeah.
So
once you kind of go behind the curtain, you're like, oh.
Yeah, you can't go back.
Right. Yeah.
And you have to question yourself constantly. So I led it as a tour. And when I was on that tour, I was walking along and I thought, along this track, I thought, well, I always said I couldn't do this, the snowman track, and I'm doing it.
Right.
What else in my life have I said I couldn't do? I've always said I can't run and I can't run a marathon. Never could run a marathon. And it was then I said, I'm going to go home and train for a marathon. So that's what I did.
Love it.
I came back and I just figured it out.
Yeah.
So got all the right gear, got my little iPod shuffle, loaded it up with podcasts.
I wish this came back.
And it was as simple as putting an earbud in.
Yeah.
Plugged into the, you know, there's no Bluetooth.
Right.
To it, and I love it.
Yeah.
And they don't make them anymore.
Yeah.
So I have a little stash of
graveyard.
Yeah. No, I have a stash of new ones.
Uh-huh.
I have two.
Oh, funny.
You know, as backups. So
what was your first marathon?
My first marathon was Honolulu.
Oh my God.
And I thought, because, you know, Hawaii,
right?
Who wouldn't want to go do that? So I signed up for Honolulu. And in the training process of that, I signed up for another one. John really wanted to go to Japan. And I thought, okay, well, let's see if there's a marathon. Hey, there's a marathon right when we want to go. So I signed up for Tokyo. And it was 2 months after Honolulu. And so I didn't know. There's rules, quote unquote rules around the length of time you should have between marathons.
Oh, right.
So they
That's
say.
It's probably better that you don't know that.
Yeah, it is totally better.
It really is.
Because I know people who are running marathons every weekend and back to back.
Well, that's where the rules, that's where like everything gets like decommissioned as those part of those rules.
You know? Yeah, exactly.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, exactly. So I was running the Honolulu and it was hard. And you know, like the last or a good chunk of the last part of it is uphill.
Uh-huh.
And you don't realize it if you drive it because it's such a subtle grade. But it's uphill when you're running it.
And it's
and then it's mile 18.
Oh my god.
So I was kind of walking, running, and I just thought, oh, marathons suck.
Yeah.
I'm never gonna do this again. And then I was like, oh shit.
What did
I actually do? I actually am doing another one in 2 months.
Damn.
Doing Tokyo.
How funny.
So did Tokyo. And then what did I do after that? Then I think I did.
What made you keep doing marathons after 2 of them?
Well, I think it was the philosophy that you should always have a goal ahead of you.
Uh-huh.
And it just didn't occur to me not to have something else.
Okay.
Another marathon. Because I knew that I could do it.
Yeah.
And then, so then I just kept signing up for stuff.
Okay.
And I thought, I wanted to do a 50-mile road race. But what I didn't realize at the time is there really aren't 50-mile road races.
No.
Because it's a lot of wear and tear on your body.
Uh-huh.
For listeners who don't know.
Yes, yeah.
Because I didn't know that.
Yeah.
In the beginning. Do you want to go this way?
Yeah, let's go up here. Let's be safe.
But I had been looking for a 50-mile road race, and I couldn't find one. So I decided to do back-to-back marathons. And I found this 50K that was a road race down in Mount Baker Park.
Okay.
Over Thanksgiving weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then the ghost. Yeah, the ghost.
Yeah. I've done that.
And then the Seattle Marathon is the next day.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I'll just do back-to-back. And that'll be like, you know, almost doing a 50-miler.
You know, there's Quadzilla.
Then I was at that race, and there were people doing the Quadzilla.
Yeah.
4 marathons in 4 days. Lo and behold, the next year I sign up for the Quadzilla because I realized that maybe they aren't so crazy. But I'm running this thing this fall called Epic 5.
Uh-huh.
And it's 5 ultras in 5 days on 5 Hawaiian islands.
Uh-huh.
And the idea was that running a marathon would be, you know, part of that training plan.
Yeah.
And that is leading up to the 4 deserts.
Okay, right.
So,
what do you get out of running besides the goals?
You know, I think the big picture is seeing what I'm capable of.
Okay.
Like that to me is the really big goal, is to say, you know, can I push myself a little bit more?
Yeah.
Can I tweak things? Can I have control over my body and my mind?
Yeah.
Because it's such a mind thing.
It's more the mind than anything else, right?
It is.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Like, really being able to, like when I ran that marathon a couple weeks ago, the first 5 miles, I was like, you know, I might just DNF.
Uh-huh.
Nobody would fault me.
Right.
I'd be okay with that. And I just kept going.
That's good.
You know, once I got past like mile 5, 6, I was like, okay, I'm in a groove now.
Yeah.
But you have to get past the mental.
Yeah. I always have a joke that you can't make decisions in the hard spots.
Yes, exactly.
You know.
Right.
When you're going up a hill, you can't make any kind of decision about anything.
No.
There's life too, you know, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so I just like to challenge myself, and that's what keeps me going.
Yeah.
But I feel good.
Yeah. Can you talk about your podcast real quick?
Yeah.
What's the name of your podcast?
Yeah, so my podcast is called She's Bold.
Uh-huh.
And
how long have you done it for?
More than 2 years. I'm just inching up on my 100th episode.
Oh, congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. So the idea behind it is that, you know, I have this story that I like to tell that I ran my first marathon at 50.
Oh, okay. So it all stemmed from running.
Pardon?
It stemmed from running.
No, it's not.
Okay.
But the idea is that that was like doing a marathon was something I said I could never do.
Okay.
So I can tell my story all day long to everybody, and they'll just call me an anomaly.
Yeah.
And say, well, that's Beth.
Yeah.
I want to tell other people's stories.
Got it.
And hear other women's stories. So I have women who do some pretty, I mean, it's a wide range.
Yeah.
So it's from musicians that you've heard of,
uh-huh,
and Olympic athletes and entrepreneurs, business owners that you may know their companies, to kind of everyday people who have figured something out. Like,
yeah,
I talked to this woman recently who did basically a couch to a 1,000-mile walk across the Camino de Santiago.
Oh, wow.
And she's like the unlikely hiker.
Yeah.
Unlikely through hiker. So there's a, you know, there's a wide range. But really, they have inspirational stories to share. And they're courageous.
Yeah.
And they're interesting.
That's great.
Yeah. So
what did you learn from that?
Oh, every day I learn from that. I mean, every conversation I have, I come away with, you know, just some spark that I just think like, oh my gosh, that was gold.
What kind of music do you like?
Oh, kind of music.
Oh, music.
You know, it's different. And since we're running and talking running, I listen to like pop music,
uh-huh,
a lot of pop music when I run, but I have a curated playlist that's down to the minute.
Oh.
To like, okay, if I'm gonna finish in a 3:55 marathon,
uh-huh,
this is the song I want.
Oh, how funny.
Coming across the finish line.
Oh, I love it.
So I curate the entire thing.
Oh, wow.
So just like my radio days,
yes,
like creating a playlist.
Yeah, it's the soundtrack.
Oh, it is the
to your finish line.
It is the soundtrack to my marathon.
I love it. So, I don't listen to music until mile 20.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's like my reward.
Oh, no.
Because
I'm like, from the start,
yeah,
I have Gonna Fly Now, the Rocky theme.
Uh-huh.
That's queued up twice. So that plays twice as I'm, because you never know how long it's going to take you to go.
Yeah.
Like, across the start line. And, yeah. And
oh,
then I've got
great.
I've got everything from, like, Bruce Springsteen to Elvis Costello,
uh-huh,
to Taylor Swift and Beyonce.
Yeah.
But it's all very curated. That's great.
Oh, that's awesome.
Best running song ever, Mr. Blue Skies.
Oh my gosh, right?
Yeah.
Boom, 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 boom.
Oh, it's awesome. Hey, so can I talk about, I don't know if you want to put anything about the Four Deserts.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
On the podcast. But I don't think I described what that was.
Do it.
So these marathons and the 50 miler and the Epic 5 that I'm running this fall.
So wait there.
Yeah.
But all the Hawaiian Islands are all 50 miles.
Yeah, 50 K.
Okay, 50K, okay.
Yeah, 50K.
Okay, and so and the marathons are in the desert.
Yeah, so I'll describe that.
Okay.
So all this, the running and the training right now is all leading up to,
yeah,
well, now the 50 miler that I'm going to do in September, and then that will lead to the Epic 5 in November, and that's 5 50Ks on 5 islands in 5 days.
Okay.
So you run in the morning, 50K, hop on a plane, go to the next island overnight, run the next morning, and do that on 5 islands.
And is it trails?
It's a combination of trails and road.
Got it.
Yeah. So that is like practice for next year, 2020. I'm running what's called the Four Deserts.
Okay.
And if anybody wants to check it out, it's
racingtheplanet.com.
And it is four deserts around the world. And each of the stage races is 250K.
And can you just mention what a stage race? I know what it is, but
yeah. So a stage race is where I don't know if I have the definition, but where you get to actually sleep. So you're racing, you're running, and then you overnight, you sleep in a tent in these deserts, and then you run again the next day. So
and it's you have to carry all your own stuff.
Yeah. Oh, and you have to carry your own stuff. So is that what is that? Oh, okay. See, I'm learning.
Yeah.
That's good. So yeah. So I have to carry my own stuff for those 7 days, and that means about 25 pounds of sleeping bag, sleeping pad, clothes, emergency gear, and all of my food.
Okay.
So dehydrated and freeze-dried foods for those days. And then there's aid stations every 6 miles for water refills. And each day is about, it might be like 15 to 20 miles.
Okay.
And then there's one day that's called the Long March. And I think that's closer to like 50 miles.
Okay.
So it's basically kind of like an overnight for some people. You know, you're running into the night.
Yeah.
So it's the Namib in Namibia, the Atacama in Chile,
okay,
the Gobi in Mongolia,
oh my gosh,
and Antarctica.
Oh.
And Antarctica, you're actually staying on a ship.
Yeah.
And you're the ship moves around to different islands. And then you go out and you run during the day. And then you go sleep on the ship.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
So there's only, I don't know, I'd have to check the updated stats, but there might only be 80 people who have completed, do I have this right? Maybe 80 who've completed all four deserts in a year.
Uh-huh.
And only a handful of women.
Oh, wow.
So that would be a fun challenge for me.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So that's what I'm, that is what I am.
And is that your pinnacle? I mean, is that what, like after that?
Well, after that, I think I need to go make some money and fund all that.
Yes.
No, I don't know after that.
Okay.
Maybe it's training again.
Yeah.
For Boston, for speed.
Uh-huh.
But I haven't really thought past that.
Okay.
My year next year is so filled.
I love it.
With travel.
Yeah.
That,
you're doing this for a living. That's awesome. I mean, I'm sure you're very grateful for it.
Oh, totally.
But it is very inspiring. It is very cool.
Yeah.
That you're doing it.
It is, pretty amazing. But you're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
You are doing what you love.
I am.
And then you went to the Azores.
Yeah, I know. Right?
And that's like step one.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stop at the bottom of the hill here.
Oh, okay.
No, just stop up here and then I'm going to go back.
Love it.
And finish up.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Thanks for the opportunity.
Yeah.
This is fun.
Ideally, I'm editing all day today.
I should have you on the podcast as well. And talk about beginning running. I've had a bunch of runners lately, it seems, and I don't want to lose my audience, my non-running audience.
Oh, well, I can tell people why people hate running.
Yeah,
that's true. I have very good background on that, and I don't like it all the time sometimes,
okay,
too.
Okay, I'm stopping here.
Okay. Whew. Let me get a picture. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening. Please follow along on the social media. We are at @WhyWeRun2, and you can see how I set up the equipment and everybody's pretty faces, and it's just fun to hear back from you guys too. If you have any feedback, and I love reviews, so please go to iTunes, and if you could write a review for me, that would be awesome, and I will love you forever and ever and ever. I'll see you next month. Have a great day.